G'day, Frothers. You know those around us who operate at high energy levels? From friends, family, through to the famous. Those who emanate enthusiasm. They inspire you to be better. Their words give you a rush. This rush fires off dopamine right in the middle of your brain's reward centre. My theory is that at times, just before we need to hit our straps, to tap into peak performance in our flow state, we find these people and harness their energy. I call this energy froth. I call these people frothers. This is a journey to find the frothers, to understand how they inspire themselves and others to be their best. And I'll pass it on to you on this podcast, dare I say Frothcast, so you can fly into your next challenge, beaming, pumped, and full of energy. This is a coffee shop with a Red Bull chaser. This is Finding the Frothers.
Howdy there, frothers and frothosauruses, if you're from the prehistoric era. Not sure why I said that, but hey, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of value before we whip into this ripping episode with Michelle Sutherland. And the reason being is that this is called Finding the Frothers, and these are I like to give some tactics about how I find frothers. And so here's an example of if I'm reaching out to someone new. So maybe I've connected with them on LinkedIn, Facebook, something like that. And I don't want to just be like, here's my stuff, buy it. I actually just want to add value because maybe they don't need my stuff. I think that's a big problem with the world these days, that people are trying to sell you stuff you don't need. And a lot of time we get sucked in and we buy it anyway. So here's how I would, let's say, Jess. I've just connected with Jess on LinkedIn. And so I've got a minute. And so my first message, rather than text, because text is boring, I'm going to send her a voice message like this. G'day Jess, Benny Wallington here. Lovely to be connected. Bit of gratitude here for the morning. I just want to introduce what I'm doing with 100 Mind Tokens, which is my movement business. I'm basically trying to redefine the way the world drinks alcohol. And I do that with an accountability app and then an online education platform and also do private coaching. I've also got a podcast called Finding the Frothers because I believe that intentional conversations can be super powerful for us to solve the world's big problems and actually access flow states. And why I mention flow states is because I'm also a peak performance coach with the Flow Genome Project out of the States. And I see, Jess, that you are into animal conservation. I've worked in animal conservation and other conservation things in the past. And yeah, super pumped to be connected. And anything that I can do for you, give me a shout. Anything piques your interest about what I've said, give me a shout. And I hope you have a ripping day. Now, you'll notice that that wasn't very perfect. Like, I could have probably been a little bit better with how I spoke about animal conservation. But the thing is, we're in a fast-paced environment. If you really need to nail it and the person is super high on the list of, you know, maybe it's, Jane Goodall. So you really want to get that. So maybe record that a couple of times. But bugger it. That was me being authentic. That's me, you know, putting my information out there, what I've got to offer. How can I assist you? Does anything pique your interest? And, you know, she'll probably, if she wants to dive back in, she'll see the work that I've done with animal conservation with my old company, Critical Mass. Anyway, on to Michelle Sutherland, absolute frothosaurus. sorry, Michelle, if you don't like being a frothosaurus, we're good buddies, I can call her that. She is brilliant. She is just a ball of energy. It's a bummer. One of the main reasons I really love living in Sydney is having friends like her that I could call on and have frothy conversations with. And she, I'll get the name wrong, I probably pronounced it wrong in the podcast, but she's really made success and a name for herself with the health company Arborne. And we discuss that. We really discuss just broad ranges of things, that just about what gets her up in the morning, how she's transitioned into more of a life of philanthropy, and just all the radness that comes with being humble. You know, there's a lot of people who are successful out there and they let it go to their head. Michelle is the example of someone who is truly humble, and I just love the way she's giving back, and I'm hoping that this will inspire you guys as well, because there's a stack of froth in here. So without further ado, here is Michelle Sutherland. G'day everyone, and welcome to another episode of Finding the Frothers. I am absolutely frothing today as I introduce to you Michelle Sutherland.
Yay! That's how we roll here. Michelle is actually one of my favourite friends of 2018, in amongst a big group of massive legends that I've met. And one of the reasons is you're just full of froth all the time. Every time we hang out, it's just I get so much energy from hanging out with you. You're also a super impressive person. You've built yourself up as an entrepreneur through the Arbonne system as well, just about to hit the top level.
Yeah.
You created Bondi Dating Club, which is fucking awesome, trying to get people off the standard dating apps. And just recently, you were in Nepal looking into entrepreneurship over there and how you can help with their ecosystem and women in particular.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're just frothing all over the place.
Yeah, thank you so much for that kind intro. Yeah, I am frothing. Don't you love that word? I think Benny needs to get some credit for just bringing that word to life. I'm super excited. Where do I even begin? Like, I'm frothing about so much. Like, obviously Arbonne, which is a big part of my life. I've been... For those of you that don't know, Arbonne's in the network marketing industry, which actually gets a lot of bad rap and a bad shit said about it. But I have totally embraced that industry and that company. And Arbonne is incredible. And at this moment, I started 9.5 years ago. I started it part-time alongside my full-time corporate job. Left my corporate job 5 years ago, this month actually. And I'm on the brink of promoting to the top level of the company, along with my team, because it's always a team effort. And Bondi Dating Club, completely random, but in amongst splitting up with my ex-boyfriend and with all my mates telling me getting on the online apps, I was like, oh my God, how bad is this? Can anyone relate to that? Like, it's seriously so bad. And just swiping left and right and people, like, I just feel as if relationships cannot be based on judgment, and that's actually what these online dating apps are doing. And I believe in the power of connection and human connection, and I just wanted to change that up, like, just like completely turn it on its head. So it's fairly new, it's only been going since February, and we are just unpacking a beast because people really don't know how to date anymore and really don't know how to build relationships. So and it's a real problem for so many people. So we're excited to see where that leads, and it's something that's I've never done before, obviously, but something that I'm passionate about. And obviously Nepal as well is what I've realized is that I'm just passionate about human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm passionate about empowering people to be the best. And whether that's Arbonne, whether that's Bondi Dating Club, whether that's going to Nepal and fundraising money for entrepreneurship there, like, all it is just really believing in people. And I think when you focus everything on people and treating people like human beings, that's when you can create greatness. That's sort of in a nutshell what's going on at the moment. But I'm excited about a lot of stuff. I'm frothing
on lots of different things. Yeah, that's awesome. And I know you when we first met, we talked about daily routines, and you'd shifted yours up, and you said it was a massive influence on your output and performance. Take us through what you do to get yourself frothing.
Okay, so to get me frothing, just going to take you a little back step, because I think a lot of people are in this space. I was saying for years I'm not a morning person, and even my mum used to say to me, don't speak to Michelle before 12 because she's a pain in the neck or pain in the ass, that's what that means. And I was like, yeah, I just kept saying to myself I'm not a morning person. And I don't know if it was something I just picked up from childhood, because my mum was always getting us up super early at like 4 a.m. because she had to go to work, and I was like, oh, I just hate getting out of my bed because that broken sleep. So for so many years, I was one of these people just like wake up, lay into like 8, half 8, sometimes even in a corporate job, I'd rock up to the office at like 9:30, 10:00. But then I started to read all of these books, one book in particular called The Miracle Morning by L. Howrod, I think his name is. And I read that, and a lot of people in my team, I noticed that they were getting up early and they were seeing good results. And then when I started to study like the most successful entrepreneurs and business owners in the world, like all of them got up between 5 and 6 a.m. Some of them, if you're Mark Wahlberg, you're up at 4 a.m. I've been seeing recently on Instagram. But all of these super successful people, they actually got up early, and I was like, right, I'm going to have to crack this. So I just made a decision. So I know it sounds really obvious, but it's just making the decision that I was going to be a morning person. So now I got up at 5:45. I go to the gym. I do an hour's workout. I've started incorporating meditation, affirmations, and also just that downtime and that stillness before the world wakes up. And so when you just get yourself into that zone, it's almost like no matter what hits you in that day, like it just bounces off.
Mm-hmm.
It's like no matter what disaster happens in business, family, life, you know, partners, friends, anything could come at me and it just literally bounces off. And it just comes from like really solidifying yourself and who you are, the energy that you have. Just breathing is just another thing that I've been talking about the last few days in my team. Like when you just are feeling that overwhelmed by just focusing on your breath and then getting oxygen. I know there's so, all the science behind it, but I don't know all that. But yeah, just getting that breath in and out your body and moving around, it just creates this amazing energy. And so sledding yourself in nature and who you are and like where you're going and what you're doing so that every single day you're just getting up with that massive clarity. And one of the things I learned in Nepal just a few weeks ago was, this is a bit of a cool story. So we met a Buddhist monk. His name was Shelpa Rinpoche. And it was a monastery in Kathmandu. And we were just talking to him for like maybe half an hour about really cool stuff. Really what he was talking about was living fully and the awareness of nowness. So being in the present moment, and if more people could be that way, then the less stressed it would be. Anyway, so after he spoke to us about for about half an hour, he said, oh, do you want to just stay for this meditation? And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So we just stayed, and then all of a sudden all the monks came in and then they just started their chant. So it was like and it was just this absolute silence with these monks chanting, and then all of a sudden these instruments came in. Like it could have been a full-blown band, but I don't know, because my eyes were closed and I was so deep into that meditation. And the words that Shelpa Rinpoche just said is just keep saying the awareness of nowness, the awareness of nowness. And I just kept saying this over and over, and I went into this deep meditation, like the best experience I've ever had with meditation. And it was actually quite lively. It wasn't like silent, it was quite lively. Mm-hmm. But I came out and I wrote about 10 pages of ideas, thoughts, words, like theories, like everything. And the energy that was inside me was like the most incredible energy I've ever felt when it came from meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, again, when we say meditation, you get a sort of idea in your head of what it can be. But that experience really made me see that meditation can be so different, and how much energy and passion and ideas come from silence. Mm-hmm. And then just listening to the right stuff. So yeah, that's a bit of a long-winded answer, but yeah, it's completely...
That's all right.
Yeah. It's completely sorting out your mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Is honestly the one high on my list of changing your life.
For sure. I think you touched on some good points there, like winning your mornings before so no one else can get in your way is really important. You mentioned monks, so maybe they're part of your Ankafrotha crew now. You're in a circle.
Yeah.
Who would you want to throw a shout out to who's in your inner circle of frothers?
I've got so many inner frothers. One is Benny right now.
Oh, awesome.
Obviously. I would say there's a number of people that I work with in Arbonne. Like what I love about Arbonne and network marketing is it just attracts positive, driven, can-do people. So like all of the people, I mean, I work with maybe like 15, 20 people on a daily basis. I won't mention all their names, but they absolutely are just insane. And we just are always looking for solutions and always bouncing ideas off of. And I think just like, to me at the moment, a lot of social entrepreneurs. So mm-hmm. I know we talk a lot about entrepreneurship, but I'm really finding that I'm being drawn more and more around social entrepreneurship, because I believe those types of people are building businesses for good but for profit. So
mm-hmm.
Who can I shout out? There's loads of people. I'm gonna shout out Michelle Duval, because she started something called Fingerprint for Success, which is all about understanding what motivates people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love what she's doing and what she's creating there. Mel Thomas is coming to mind from KY Up, and she's literally helping around self-defense and protecting young teenagers from domestic violence, and mm-hmm. doing some really cool stuff there. There's so many. Like honestly, what I love, I know I could go on and on.
That's
forever,
all right.
but there's loads.
That's awesome. Well maybe we'll just get a list and we'll be able to, because I'd love to connect with all these people as well, because social entrepreneurship is huge on my list, and I think social entrepreneurs need to get together and help each other rise, lift each other up, which is really important. What about music? What are you really frothing on? I know you said before you like all music, and I was like, you have to pick one. So, what's some music that you're really frothing on?
I know Benny showed me that question, and I was like, I'm not a one type music kind of gal. Like, when people say to me, what's your favourite colour? I'm like, multicolored. I'm not one colour. You can't put me in a box.
You're a rainbow.
I'm a rainbow, yeah. But actually, there's one song that gets me fired up. And I'm going to be really Scottish here and say The Proclaimers 500 miles. But mainly because it just beats to my heart. And like when I hear the bagpipes, there's something about being Scottish that it just being in Scotland and being from Scotland, it just breeds so much passion, like through nature, through people, like everyone keeps you grounded, but equally lifts you up. And that song, you know, I was actually just thinking about it in the bathroom there, like, it's a great song because it's just like high energy and upbeat, but it actually represents a lot like walking 500 miles. I mean, that's literally, it represents so much, but that's a song that gets me up and going. But I'm a big believer, and I'm actually a real big fan of Guys and Guitars. And actually sometimes not like high energy songs, I like Bon Iver. Skinny Love, I like that version. But yeah, I'm a big sucker for Guys and Guitars, so if you want to pick one of those, great. If not, 500 miles.
Cool. Bondi Dating Club, more Guys and Guitars. Sign them up. Let's talk about some people. Just, you've got it such a powerful inner circle, and it's admirable. People who are just on the outside, so we call them boundary frothers. Is there someone that you'd really like to reach out to?
Yeah, so there's someone that I'm following at the moment, Kerwin Ray. He's based out here in Sydney, and I just think he's obviously been going around for a long time, and he's been doing his stuff for a long time, but it's really amazing to see he's just sort of blossomed, or just lots of people are talking about him, and I just love his work. Like, I love that he's full of like love. Like, he's got massive love, and he's got this real, I think, vulnerable side to him, but he's also like a no bullshitter. Like, he's very like business focused and wants to get results and good outcomes, but actually do it in the right way. I think Gary V's also like that as well, but he's, I mean, Kerwin's just awesome because he's here in Sydney, and yeah, I'm loving his stuff.
Yeah, Dan, my flatmate, who will also be, who's one of my anchor frothers as well, he just went to the Kerwin Ray event. So did Dave Tobain, who's been on the podcast. So
you must be,
yeah.
I'm on to something then. Yeah. A lot of my friends have just been, and some people on my team, and they're just raving about what he does. Like, one example is like they challenged everyone to come up with basically it was like an ebook in 22 hours. And I think 85% of the room, even 90% of the room, did it. And it just shows you, like, he's like, I'm very, like, yeah, I'm all about love and vulnerability and meditation and all of that, but I'm also very about what Kerwin talks about, is getting results and building your business and doing the do and taking action. Because a lot of the sessions I do with my team are like, okay, I understand that shit's going on in your mind, but let's just get to work. Like, actually, when you get into activity, everything else, it just cures everything. Like, and I was doing it last night. Even last night, I was feeling a bit overwhelmed. I was like, hold on, I'm just going to get into a little bit of activity here, be grateful for the stuff I've got, and it literally cures stuff. So what he seems to be doing in those workshops is like teaching people the philosophy and the reasons why, and then saying, okay, let's do it. So they actually leave there with something, and they're not just sitting there in a conference for like 4 days.
Amazing. Action, high levels of froth, Kerwin Ray. I think the ebook exercise, nice little dovetail into my next question. So I think what he's trying to do there is he's trying to get people to really dial into what are their best skills. And if you don't know what an ebook is, it's usually just a free download that you can get. A lot of people use them as an intro into like the great stuff that they do online or offline. So yeah, what would be your ebook? But the question is really more about what would be one workshop that you would run to show us your ultimate gift.
Oh my God, this is so hard. do you know what? There's so much that I could talk about. You're probably getting that idea from me now. But when I think about it, I want to actually read you something, because I've just come back from Melbourne, and when I was in silence, I was on the plane, and sometimes words just come to you when you're in a really good place of flow and froth.
Frostate leads to flare state.
Benny corrected me there. Yeah, I was on the plane and all these things, all these words just started to come to me. And I think it's because obviously I've done the work. I mean, I think that's the big thing is you need to do the work in yourself. And in the last 8 weeks, I've had a lot of massive shifts in my mindset and in my life. And what I've realised, and I said it before at the beginning, like human beings, like I just believe deeply in people. So I want to share with something you I wrote on the plane, but maybe this is the start of a workshop. I don't know, but I'm putting it out there. So here goes. So this is what I wrote. It's a bit rough, so bear with me. I believe people are worth more than a swipe left or right. I believe relationships start from a better place than judgment. I believe people deserve more, want more, and need more. I believe in empowering human beings. I believe people are worth fighting for. I believe people are worth the challenges, the setbacks, the no's. I just deeply care, that's all. I truly believe people are precious, and I'm going to use my power to protect that preciousness. The preciousness of people, that's what life is all about. So maybe
amazing.
That's it.
The preciousness of people might actually be the workshop. Yeah. How to identify the preciousness of people. So much gold in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. Yeah, I feel quite emotional. I feel really emotional saying that. I don't know. People fascinate me, but they all, like, you know, when you get together with other people, like, when you froth, it's people, right?
That's other people's
energy and thoughts and beliefs that get you going.
Yeah.
Can bring you down, but can get you going as well. And I just, if you could tap into the strengths, my grandpa always said to me, you know, people have strengths and weaknesses, but just love them for who they are. And I think if we could all accept that and just go with people a bit more, it would be a much better place.
And the most profound people are those that their legacies live on and that we can continue to steal their froth on once they're gone. Mm. Is there anyone in your life who you continue to have them elevate you?
Yes, so I just mentioned my grandpa there and my grand. So my grand and grandpa were massive frothers in my life. They've now passed away. And the reason they're like massive influences on me is because they really gave me this awesome balance of they completely showered me with unconditional love without judgment, which I'm a big believer in. They were there for me. They just nourished me so much. And they were sort of old school. So I sort of had an upbringing. I spent a lot of time with my granny and grandpa because my mum was a single mum. And it was that old school way of life. And so they taught me. I mean, I'm going to ring off a few sayings that both of them used to say. One was that one I just said, like my grandpa said, love everyone for their strengths and their weaknesses. My gran used to say, you don't ask, you don't get. She used to always say, take each day as it comes. She used to say, early to bed, early to rise, makes you healthy, wealthy and wise. I've just got that, gran, thanks very much. And then with my grandpa, there's something really interesting. I only realised this last year. So I don't know if there's a connection in this, but often we describe my grandpa as a saint. He was really into his Catholic faith, and he had massive faith, and people had massive faith in God, and he was just such a kind, humble, quiet, amazing man. He actually taught me how to be in the now. Like, we used to sit in the local park for hours and hours and just watch the world go by, as we used to say, and we'd sit in silence for like 3 or 4 hours and be so comfortable in that silence and just appreciate nature. And so he always had this really profound impact on me, even though he didn't say much. And I just realised that there's a connection between him, Louise Hay, and Dr. Wayne Dyer, that they all died in the same day, the 30th of August. And so Louise Hay died, I think it was 4 years ago. Dr. Wayne Dyer was 2 years ago, and 2 years prior to that, my grandpa died on the exact same day. And I think, man, I don't know what's going on out there, but like when I think of him and I think of Louise Hay and Dr. Wayne Dyer, they just had massive unconditional love for people and shared that constantly. And they believed in like the power of law of attraction and healing your life, healing your body, like you can, the power of your mind. And there's a bit of a long story about my grandpa about persistence, but he literally was given a week to live and he lived for the next 4 years. And it really showed me the power of someone's mind. I don't know if there's a connection, but Gran and Grandpa were a massive influence in me, but Grandpa in particular, I'm like, is he some spiritual I don't know what you call it, spiritual unicorn. I'm not sure with those other guys, but it was just when you were saying there, it sort of came to mind that I just realised that they all died on the same day, 30th of August.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah. It's an amazing story, and maybe there's something about where we go next, and they needed a bit more love on that day.
Mm.
On that day, on every year they need more love, so maybe that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
They sound like absolute heroes in your life, but could you take me to a 15-minute conversation with an ultimate hero? It can be anyone in the world. And, yeah, take me to that first 15 minutes and where you are.
Okay, anyone in the world, where would I go? This is really tricky because my normal answer before Nepal would be like Tony Robbins, which is so like typical. But actually, now that I've been in Nepal, I would go back and spend time with Shelpa Rinpoche. Just because everything he said in that moment just a few weeks ago, like, really, really resonated with me. And it was, and what I love about that sort of culture and Buddhism is that they don't project like Buddhism onto anyone. They just say this is a way and a philosophy of life. If you like it, go for it. If you don't, you know, find something else. And I really like how they talk. They just speak like, it's almost like every sentence they say has gold. Mm-hmm. Like they talk in wisdom in every single sentence. It's not like, you know, every couple of sentences you'll get a little nugget. It's like every single sentence they say you have a bit of wisdom. And I just feel as if that's the place I'm at now where, you know, I think I saw a chart recently where you talk about how you go from, you know, conscious awareness and enlightenment and empowerment, enlightenment, and you sort of go on this spiritual journey. And I just feel as if that's where I'm at the moment. And that would be a really cool place to explore more. Because they just seem, especially the Buddhist monks that have been around for a long time, they just seem to have this deep, deep wisdom of love, of connection, of people, of, and that's it. Like, business can come, like, you know, all the other stuff can come, but just having that deep connection with yourself and how to live life and ultimately build a business. I'd go back and hang out with Shelpa Rinpoche.
I think I know what your next answer is going to be. And what in the world are you most frothing on at the moment?
Well, Benny's like, this couldn't have gone any better. And I didn't plan these answers, by the way. I'm a bit of a freestyler. But so after a few conversations in Nepal, because what's really cool is when I go there, I just switch off from technology for a week. So I switched off for a week. And within the first day, the first thing I wrote down, one sentence, was create a school of social entrepreneurship. And the reason that came to me is because I've been thinking about this and obviously meeting really good social entrepreneurs that I spoke about before. And it strikes me like as a community, there needs to be some sort of platform to bring them together, or a community and bring them together so that we can learn from each other and all make money and all do good. Because I think that's the key. Some of the social enterprises don't make money. Mm-hmm. And I really want them to see them making money and doing good at the same time. So that came to me. But also bigger than that, I thought, why not create a school where our kids and the children of our future are actually going to be taught social entrepreneurship? So every single business that's created in the future will be for good and be for profit. And so that's the sort of thing that came to me. And then as I started chatting to a few key people there, in particular Dr. Shedding, who's one of my mates in Nepal, we both started frothing out. And then he just said, listen, he said, I actually want to create something in Nepal, which is effectively $1 billion social impact fund to give back to social enterprises and social entrepreneurs in Nepal. And I was like, I'm in. I don't have a clue how I'm going to do this, but I know that I can help. I know that I have connections and I'll just learn, like I'll find the way. But it just sort of ignited something in me. I'm going back to Nepal in literally 2 weeks, 3 weeks to help a company, an organization called Idea Studio, where we're going to get the best entrepreneurial ideas in Nepal I'm going to be on a little TV show, judging all those ideas and helping those entrepreneurs build their businesses for good. And yeah, so that's something I'm super excited about, which never done before, but hey, I'm just going to go with it.
Awesome. And I have full faith that you'll absolutely nail it. You might come up against a few things like needing to network and find more frothers that can actually help you on that journey. Do you have any strategies or tactics that you use when you need to connect with someone?
Yeah, so I'm a big believer in just going direct, because it will surprise you the response you'll get, and it will surprise you that most people will reply back, or they'll have an assistant or someone that will get back to you. And I'm going to share a little story, which is really cool. So I would say about nine years ago, I was living in London, and my mum was working for this company called Marks & Spencers. And I personally love Marks & Spencers. I don't know if any of you guys know this, but it's amazing. It's the best British shop on the planet and the best food. And anyway, I used to work at Marks & Spencers when I was at university, and my mum was making a big career change, and so I encouraged her to go and work at Marks & Spencers. So she went to work there, and she ended up becoming a massive like fan like me, like most people do when they start working there. And she just got obsessed. Like, she would, like, every Christmas, like, it would always be, oh, have you seen this in M&S? Have you done this? And she just became this, like, ambassador. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And I just thought to myself, wouldn't it be cool? Because I was living in London at the time, and my mum was coming down for a visit. Wouldn't it be cool if she could meet the CEO? And his name is Stuart something or other. And I've completely forgot the name.
But Spencer.
Is that? No, it's not Spencer. It's Oh, I'll give you the name, but he's really cool. And at the time, he was the CEO. And because my mum was going on about this podcast, weirdly enough, that he was doing on the BBC. And she was like, have you heard this podcast? And I was like, no. Anyway, and I was like, she is obsessed with that guy. Like, she just always talks about him. Anyway, so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to Google his email address. So I Googled his email address, funnily enough, stuart@marksandspencers.com. And I sent an email. I actually wrote a letter. And I can send you this later, because I mean, it'd be good to dig it out now. But I basically said, listen, my mum, I told her story, how she got to work in Marks & Spencers and how she's like a raving fan. And I got a response within like 2 days. And I actually asked for a coffee. Like I said, we're going to be in Marble Arch Marks & Spencers on this day. Are you around just for a little coffee? And he actually came back and he said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not. But thank you so much. I really enjoyed writing the letter. I'm on holiday with my family, but let me organise a special gift for your mum. And he actually sent her, I think they were celebrating like their 50 or 60 year anniversary of Marks & Spencers. And it was like this special book that they created, and he signed it and posted it out to my mum that day. And I never told her, and she got this book and she was like, Stuart Rose, that's his name. She's like, I've just got this book from Stuart Rose, the CEO of Marks. And I was like, yeah. And so I think there's so much power in just going direct and just seeing what happens. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like, I've messaged Gary Vee about something, but he didn't get back to me. But, you know, some things will pull off and some don't. So one is best advice, go direct. And then second of all, if they're maybe a bit closer to you, I would definitely look at just surrounding yourself with the best people that are in the same arena as that type of person. And sooner or later, you're going to meet them, right? It's just fact. Because they're surrounding themselves with the best, you're surrounding themselves with the best. You know, the world is a small place. You're going to get that connection eventually. And if they've got any, like, offerings or anything like that, like, sign up to them and be a part of them. Another cool story is Janine Garner from the Little Black Dress Group. I basically stalked that group for years from London before I moved to Australia. And I just reached out to her. And no, I never reached out to her. I just stalked them a lot, followed all their stuff, liked all their posts. When I finally moved to Sydney, my housemate, who was American, her friend, who was Scottish, was speaking as a guest speaker at Janine Gardner's Little Black Dress Group events. And he said to me, oh yeah, I'm speaking at this thing. And I went, can you get me a ticket? And he was like, yeah, sure. Got me a ticket. And I walked right up to Janine and I said, I want to be a part of this group. Because obviously it's by application only. So I was just like, I want to be a part of it. And these are the reasons why. And she was like, yeah, sure, you're in. And I was like, yes. And so, and that one connection and that one group has actually led me to so many other big connections in my life. And so for a lot of the time, I was away from it, but I was following and watching. And then when I got here, I just always knew. I think it's that belief that you just always know you're going to be with those people, and you know, you're developing yourself to get to the point of hanging about with those people. And now Janine's one of my best friends, you know. And so yeah, I think it's just Stuart Rose isn't, by the way, but he might after this podcast. So yeah,
that's my advice. I love that. There's so many good tips in there, just like going for it. The amount of times someone is just their name at their business.com will blow your mind. Yeah. And there are tactics. Actually, you were a part of the very first Finding the Frothers workshop that I ran.
Yeah.
And I've got some tactics for you guys out there so you can double check to see it's the right email. How can people connect with you and your awesomeness?
You can connect with me. What am I on? I'm on Facebook, Instagram. So Instagram is Mish_Mish85. Obviously, spelled. I created that when I was like 20. And Michelle Sutherland, you'll find me on Facebook. I've got a business page, all that sort of stuff. And yeah, email address, because I'm talking about email addresses, michelle@bambooglobal.com.au.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Now, to round out the podcast, I'm actually absolutely frothing to do this part because we always connect frothers with frothers at Finding the Frothers podcast. And one of my frother friends, Laura Reed, she's actually a social entrepreneur strategist.
Wow.
Pretty reputable one in Australia as well.
Okay.
And the kicker is that she goes to Nepal on the reg to help out with females in need as well. So I feel like if I get you frothers in the same room, it could really help you on your journey and with your goals.
Amazing! I can't wait to meet you, Laura.
Frothing on this Ben. One. Yeah, I'm stoked. So thanks again for coming on. Awesome. I always love hanging out with you and looking forward to us collaborating in the future.
Yay. Thanks, Benny. Thanks, everyone. See ya.
You.
1 guys, to keep this show afloat, feel free to subscribe and share the love. Maybe even leave a cheeky comment review. That'd be awesome. You can find the show notes on my website at bennywallington.com. And finally, this episode was sponsored by my grandma, Joyce Reichel, who passed away last year from dementia. She was one of the original frothers and would talk to anyone on the bus, train, or wherever and generously impart her energy and wisdom. So if you see an elderly person who is looking for someone to froth with, go and hang out with them. They've got the best stories. Also, a huge shout out to our producer, Lily Haynes, for bringing this to life, and Billy Otto, who created that beautiful introduction in true Billy Otto style. Also, my buddies in Australia and the UK who have been super generous in swinging me feedback. In a way, all of you guys are sponsoring me with your time. Love to the guests, past and future, and also to you guys for listening. Ciao for now.